Hi, I'm John Paul, and thank you for coming to my channel. Videos of all of the audios that are on this podcast are on my YouTube channel, which is at John Paul Davis TTP. So do take a look at that. There's also a couple of additional videos which haven't made it on as audios to this podcast as well, which you might find helpful or interesting. If you do like the YouTube channel, please do subscribe. That would be amazing. Also, in terms of this podcast, it'd be great if you could follow it, and you'll, of course, then be notified of any future episodes. Also, if you do like the podcast, if you could give it a rating or review, I'd be really grateful. That would be wonderful. And finally, just to say, if there's anything you want to discuss following this podcast, or anything you hear on any of the other podcasts as well, then please do, of course, get in contact with me via my website, www.thistrustedplace.co.uk. There should be a link to that on this podcast page. Thanks again for coming to the channel, and I really hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, I'm John Paul, and a really warm welcome back to my channel. Today I'm going to be doing the third video about bisexual identity. You might have seen the first two videos that I did. Video one was about connecting with a bisexual identity within a straight relationship, and the second one was about coming out and self-acceptance as well. And following those videos, a number of people wrote to me, and some people sort of told me their story, and I thought it would be a nice idea for this third video to tell one of those stories. And it's David's story today. And so what I'm going to do is read the story that he very kindly wrote. Then I'm going to make some observations based on what he said, and then I'll leave it to you really to see if there's anything that you would like to say about it, any comments you might have, any feedback you might have, anything that you might find helpful or you might think would be helpful for David too. So this is David's story. The story is about my journey and preoccupations around my sexuality, sense of identity, and how this has changed over the course of my lifetime. I think I would describe myself as bisexual, although sometimes I question that and think I have a more fluid or diverse sexuality. Maybe the defining feature of having a more diverse sexuality is that for me, it has created a lot of self-doubt. A bit about me, I'm a man who has been married to my wife for over 30 years. I'm monogamous, a father, and I've been more accepting over the last few years in thinking of myself as bisexual. I work in the finance sector and live in a rural area. I was born in the south of England, and my family moved to the northeast of England when I was 10. I went to an all-boys school there. It was challenging to make this move as a young child, and it left me with a strong sense of being different. Different accent, different cultural background. I experienced a lot of bullying, which took quite a long time to process. Therapy really helped here. Bullying seemed to be the norm at this school, and parents and teachers didn't do much to protect children from its really adverse impact on self-esteem and confidence. As an adult, this left me with a permanent sense of living with threat. Although I was quite a shy, quiet, and gentle boy, I don't remember a lot of the bullying focusing around any perceptions about my sexuality. In an all-boys school, there was always the search for somebody who seemed more effeminate and not really male, in inverted commas. When I look back now, I think how grim the 1970s appeared to me and how much progress has been made on all fronts since, not just in the area of sexuality. There was very little representation of gay people in the media when I was growing up. Any kind of sex education at school was very brief, and there was just a whole generalised fear and terror around any same-sex attraction. And it was definitely something that was seen as abnormal. My parents never really discussed sex and sexuality, so there were no counterbalances to the prevailing culture of the outside world. I think now how much I internalised this 1970s thinking in my early adulthood. The first positive gay representation that I remember was Tom Robinson and his song, Glad to Be Gay. How grateful I was for that and the whole punk movement. I remember starting to be confused about my sexuality in my mid-teens. I was definitely romantically and sexually attracted to girls and women, but I also had strong, recurrent fantasies around sex with boys and men. Both sets of fantasies seemed to represent different parts of myself. In my opposite sex attractions, I was always more active and romantically attached, whereas my same-sex fantasies were more purely physical, and I was the more passive recipient of a man's interest. I had some exploratory sex with girls as a teenager and a couple of one-off experiences with another boy. My same-sex attractions were perhaps more intermittent, so often I compartmentalised them and told myself that I was mainly straight. Of course, there was nobody I could talk to about these feelings. I thought it was only me who experienced them, so lots of shame, confusion, and loneliness. But also a sense that I might just grow out of these same-sex feelings if I pushed them down and tried not to experience them too much. I can't really remember anybody ever talking about the term bisexual, although I think that term might have been used around David Bowie at the time. At that point in time, people thought it was just another word for really being gay. Somebody who was in denial and or on the road to being gay. And I guess some of that way of being and thinking continued through my young and mid-adulthood. I had relationships with women and didn't ever share the other side of my sexuality with them or with anyone. It did affect my thinking processes and my overall sense of well-being. My internal critic would accuse me of being in denial or confused and berate me for this. Or I would try to prove to myself that I was really straight. Looking back, I spent so much time and mental energy deliberating whether I was gay or straight. I have now heard about the term sexual orientation OCD, and I think I did have a level of this. As I said, self-doubt was never far from the surface in my mind. It certainly affected my ongoing mental health, confidence, and levels of anxiety. And again, there were no real models for bisexuality or even any discussions about how male sexuality could be fluid. The presumption seemed to be that if you had one gay thought, fantasy, or action, that meant you were gay. I think now how helpful it would have been then for a wider discourse about bisexuality and male sexual fluidity. Although the 1980s and 90s did feel a bit freer than the 1970s, the fear around HIV and bisexuality as a vector for transmission didn't make things much easier, and it was still the period of Section 28 and John Major's Family Values. Looking back now, I feel a real sense of sadness and anger that my early life was so mired in this sense of confusion and loneliness. I met my wife when I was in my late 20s and fell very much in love. Although my 1970s thinking did leave me questioning whether I should really be with her when I had these underlying issues with sexuality, was it fair to her that she might be marrying somebody who wasn't a real man, in inverted commas? It took me a long time to share my sexuality with her, and her acceptance and love has been quite healing. Apart from adolescence, I've not had any sexual experiences with a man. My same-sex life has remained just as fantasy. In many ways, I feel okay with that, although there is some sadness about a possible life maybe left unexpressed. It also leaves me wondering whether I can really call myself bisexual. Although I like Robin Ock's definition that bisexuality is the potential or capacity for love and sexual relationships with all genders. So what has helped me on my journey? Good therapy has been so helpful. I remember one therapist telling me about my beautiful sexuality and about how utterly normal I am. That was revelatory. As was acceptance from my wife and a growing self-acceptance and compassion for my younger self and all the different aspects of my sexuality. There is a podcast called Bisexual Brunch, which has been helpful, although there does seem to be a focus on the lives of younger people in their bisexual journeys feature. I spent a lot of time reading and thinking about sexuality and gender. The Kinsey Scale and more recent books, such as Julia Shaw's Bi, have been helpful. John Paul's two videos on his YouTube channel on accepting and expressing your bisexual identity have been helpful and validating too. Less helpful was the input from one LGBT organisation, with the worker suggesting that although it might be difficult, I would only really feel a sense of contentment when I left my wife and settled into a relationship with another man. I really feel the lack of support for bisexual people. I had hoped, when I contacted this LGBT organisation, of finding something like a bisexual mentor, somebody who was a few steps ahead of me in my journey, who could provide support and community. That doesn't seem to be around. I would like to find more community, however, my identity does not purely circulate around my sexuality. Given my stage of life, interests and location. I'm not really interested in going to LGBT clubs or bars. I'm not sure whether I would be welcomed into LGBT clubs and interest groups as I'm in such a straight-facing relationship. At the moment, I'm only really out to myself and to my wife, although I would be happy to discuss my sexuality if it came up in conversation where it felt safe to do so. I still have some anxiety about coming out to others, partly some residual internalised homophobia. Also, I'm aware of the many misconceptions that seem to be around about bisexuality and sexual fluidity. I struggle sometimes with the need to be seen as real and to share different aspects of myself. And then I think that my sexuality is a private part of myself. And given that nothing much would really change in my life if I were to come out, do I need to? I would like to think that my story is relevant for other people. In many ways, it is defined by a time and place. I think what was so difficult for my younger self was this sense that there were unlikely to be people like me. So hopefully this story might have some echoes for some people. I do feel slightly jealous of the freedoms I perceive younger people as enjoying. Although there are still ways to go, I reflect on how much progress has been made since the 1970s. So that's David's story. The first thing I wanted to say was thank you so much, David, for telling your story. Such a powerful story, you know, told in such a sort of sensitive, thoughtful and reflective way. You might tell from some of the context, well, he says that he grew up in the 1970s. David's actually 63. The thing is, whether you're 23, 43, 63 or 83, I'm sure there are lots of elements of that story which are going to connect and resonate with people. So thank you so much, as I say, David, for writing that. I just wanted to draw out a couple of elements from David's story, which I think might be helpful to reflect on here. The first of those is that you can really see how when something as intrinsic as our sexuality or our sexual identity is sort of turned against, you know, the difficulties that that can cause us in life. David grew up, as I say, in the 1970s, where it wasn't just that there were necessarily negative messages about a bisexual identity. Actually, there were no messages at all. It was as if it didn't exist. And for human beings, you know, we're born with fear and impulses, including as we go into adolescence, that sort of sexual identity. But the way we make sense of it is usually by looking at the outside world and the messages we get from the outside world. There were negative messages that David was getting to some degree about same-sex relationships, but nothing that even existed about a bisexual identity. And see from his story how disorientating that would have been during that such a significant period as, say, adolescence. Because how do we make sense of something? How does something get integrated into life if there isn't anything out there which is helping us to do that? And in fact, the messages about same-sex relationships are that it's problematic and there's something wrong with it. And so you can really see how if we internalise that, human beings can turn against a part of self which actually ought to be such a sort of powerful, creative aspect of us. And if we turn against a part of self, it sets up that ongoing internal conflict. There will always be conflict because it is an intrinsic part of who we are. There's no reason that we should change it. We shouldn't have to change it. In fact, as was reflected back by one of David's therapists, you know, somebody's sexual identity is, in terms of bisexuality, I think beautiful, is absolutely normal. But if we turn against it, or really are made to turn against it by the messages that we're receiving, or no messages at all, that is going to be a consistent drain, draw on our energy. David uses the word mired, actually, which is that, you know, sense of being stuck. What we want is, I think, is our thoughts, feeling, body, behaviour, and of course our sexual identity all to be working together, and that helps us to move forward. Any ongoing long-term internal conflicts around something as important as our sexual identity is going to be really problematic, and is bringing up words that David describes, things like shame, loneliness. He would berate himself, so anger as well. And you can see it made such a difference to him when moving to a place of actually acceptance, and not just acceptance. Looking at Robin Ox's definition as well of bisexuality is potential and capacity. I've said it in a previous video, but that way of framing a bisexual identity, which is a very real way of framing it, that's the reality, that's the truth, isn't it? It is the potential and capacity to love across genders. That's a sort of broader bandwidth. That's something I think to be celebrated. Of course, it does come with its complications potentially as well, and I'll just talk about that in a minute. But largely, you know, when we can reach a place where that is integrated internally, perhaps where we don't just accept it, but also celebrate it as a part of who we are. I think that's an amazing place to reach. And I'm so glad for David that that is somewhere that he's reached. And, you know, moving on as well in his story to the part that other people can play in that too. As I was saying, you know, as we're growing up, we sort of make sense of things through others. We make sense of things in ourselves through relationships. So I think it's really important that bisexual identity has that time and place internally, as far as acceptance and celebration internally, but also to a degree somehow it's brought into relationship with others too. You can see from David's story the huge power that acceptance and love from his wife of that bisexual identity, the effect that that had on him. Similarly, what his therapist said about it, how healing that was. And interestingly as well, it's not just talking to people as well about a bisexual identity and having that validated. We can also see it in films, in music and that kind of thing. You know, the importance of it being reflected in culture, how significant it was for David to hear somebody singing about same-sex relationships. You know, suddenly it's seen, suddenly it's visible, suddenly in that situation the title of that song was Glad to Be Gay. It's actually validated by somebody else. It exists. He exists. And how powerful that is. So another element that comes through David's story, I think, is also how a bisexual identity gets a sense of time and place and gets integrated into relationships with others. And that's going to be very different for different people too. I've said that in a previous video. For some people, you know, it's as much accepting and celebrating it internally. I think for most people, somehow, somewhere, it's important to bring it into relationship with others too. Interestingly, from David's story as well, you can see, you know, the difficulty when it's brought into relationships with others and it may be rejected or criticised, or there's a misattunement or something feels like a misattunement when we do that. He described talking to somebody within an LGBT organisation, you know, looking for kind of mentorship, looking for relationship, looking for it to have a place in relationship. And somebody said, well, you're only going to be happy when you leave your wife and go into a same-sex relationship. A couple of things here that really reminds me of some of those sort of myths around a bisexual identity, which is that it's somehow that kind of buy now, gay later situation, that somebody is saying it on their way to an entirely same-sex attraction. And I just don't think that that's true. Some people, perhaps the person who said that to David, that was their journey. Perhaps they know somebody whose journey that was. They always had but a fundamentally same-sex attraction, but used a bisexual identity in some ways to make that transition easier in terms of their external environment or internally as well. But certainly the experience that I would have of working with people with a bisexual identity is that although, as David reflects, you know, there is fluidity, diversity, some people are more romantically attracted to a particular gender, some people are more sexually attracted to a particular gender, the fact that somebody has the capacity or potential to be romantically and or physically attracted across genders is fixed, is static. That's who they are. It's who they've always been. It's who they will always be. But you can really see how bringing it into relationship with, as I say, somebody who misattunes in that way and tries to impose their frame, but certainly wasn't David's, can be problematic. So it is important to bring it into relationship with people who we can trust as well and choose who we can trust to talk to about it. I said in a previous video, I sat in supervision with a supervisor who'd been in the industry for about 20 or 30 years, who said something about a bisexual identity, which was one of the most sort of critical, pathologizing things that I've heard about anything. And when I reflect on that now, I think, how did she get away in some ways with thinking those things and believing those things about a bisexual identity over that period? She must have seen people who identified in that way. I mean, she was brought in as a supervisor to supervise trainees. And I think the reason she was able to do that is that pathological idea about it, the fact it was problematic or something to be worked on, something to be changed potentially. I think the trouble is that probably what somebody was seeing mirrored back to them was the message that they had internalized. best over the years was the message that other people had told them too. So nobody pushed back because what they were seeing was what, as I say, they had internalized. It's something problematic or pathological. So I hope, you know, from David's story, and I hope from these comments that I'm making as well, that what David's therapist said, that it is utterly normal and it's beautiful, that sexuality, that is something that you internalize if you haven't already from this point on too. It's great to hear from David about the things that have helped him, whether that is, you know, reading other people's books, that book by Julia Shaw called Bi, podcast, these videos, Bisexual Brunch, those things. It would be lovely to hear from you if there are any other things that have been helpful for you, any other things that you would suggest. Also, interestingly, I think David's search for kind of that mentorship and community as well. We really do need to have community. I'm doing a podcast which is about loneliness. And of course, we can be amongst lots of other people. But if there's a part of us that's disconnected and part of us that isn't in relationship with others, then we can feel very lonely, particularly if it's as important as our sexual identity. You know, as David says himself, it's not that he always wants to be talking about his sexuality with people. There is something, though, about the fact that people know and that it is not even mentioned. Possibly. Equally, as probably do need to somehow work out how to integrate it into a lived life as well. And so doing that in relationship with others and with other people that have been through that journey, I think is very powerful. David talks about people that are sort of a few steps ahead on that journey, looking for a kind of mentor around that. And I can really see why that's something David would be looking for, would be helpful for people. The only thing that I would say about that is that following these videos going up, I've been approached by people who are in kind of opposite sex relationships, who have a bisexual identity. Some of them, as in David's case, don't or haven't, other than during adolescence, but certainly not within a marriage, sort of acted on any sexual attraction. I've had people write to me who, within an opposite sex marriage, do act on sexual attraction to same sex, have had romantic attraction and acted on that within marriages as well, sometimes with the knowledge of their partner, sometimes not. I've had people write to me who are in same-sex relationships, but they would describe themselves as having a bisexual identity, and therefore, you know, there is that potential part unlived with the opposite sex as well. So the thing that I would say is I think people's lived experience of bisexuality is going to be different too. But so I think it isn't that anybody else is going to be able to tell us, you know, what we should do. But I think the key thing is that they would see a bisexual identity as something which is something to be celebrated, and it's just trying to work out how you know, to integrate that into your life, and that is going to be different for every human being. Whether some people, as far as how much they want to bring it into relationship, is to read a book or to listen to podcasts or to speak to a friend, maybe that's enough throughout somebody's life. For somebody else, they want to do the Bisexual Brunch and podcast and be talking to people all the time about it and mentoring other people and helping other people. But that's a very personal thing, and I think that's the importance, isn't it? You know, the wonderful thing about having community, the wonderful thing about having that kind of mentoring role, and also trusting your own internal compass about things, you know, what you think and feel about it, always keeping an eye on what's comfortable for you, what feels right for you, whether that's who you bring it into relationship with, how you express your sexual identity, romantic identity here. It's that combination of working it out with others, being informed by what other people can say about it, you know, look at other people's example, but fundamentally it's you forming that for yourself. It's you being able to trust the decisions that you make around it and how you're going to go forward with it. And then just to finish off here, something that I mentioned in the video too around bisexuality, but David mentions as well, is that, you know, if you're looking at how a bisexual identity should really be celebrated, there's also, it does, if we're looking at monogamous relationships, there is that potential issue or something to be worked through and processed, which is going to be about what happens to that part that's possibly never going to be expressed. Some people work out ways to do that. As I said, they're within monogamous relationships and express the sexuality too. But, you know, for quite a lot of people, that isn't something that will happen. So I think, as I said, that part needs a time and a place to somewhere in relationship with self, somewhere in relationship with others, perhaps a therapist. So those are my reflections on it. Oh my goodness, thanks again, David, for what you've written. I really hope it's been helpful for people. I would love, as ever, to hear what other people have to say, just about your own experience. Tell your story, you know, whether that's beneath this video or other videos. Also, do write to me with your story if you'd like me to read your story on here. You think it would be helpful for you, of course. I always encourage people generally in life to tell your story, and I'm more than happy to read stories on here for you, just for your own benefit, also if you think it might be helpful for other people too. So I would love to hear from you. If you do like the video, then please do give it a like. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Of course, please share it if you think it might be helpful for other people as well. Thank you for watching, and take care.